Hallo. Als letzten Beitrag des diesjährigen Paraflow-Symposiums darf ich Alessio Chiero vorstellen. Er ist Künstler mit theoretischem Hintergrund in zeitgenössischer Kunst, Designtheorie und Medienstudien. Er hat in Mailand, Carrera und Urbino in Italien, dem IAMAS Institute for Advanced Media Arts and Sciences in Ogaki, Japan und der Kunstuniversität Linz studiert. An letzterer Institution hat er Interface Culture abgeschlossen. In den letzten 10 Jahren hat Alessio mehr als 60 Mal ausgestellt und ist damit ziemlich weit in der Welt herumgekommen. Zu den Ausstellungsorten zählen die Flux Factory in New York, Maxi in Rom, Darabast Platform in Teheran, natürlich mehrere Teilnahmen an der Ars Electronica in Linz, dazu Lissabon, Udine, Bologna, Bukarest, Slowenien, Venedig und Turin. Außerdem publiziert er regelmäßig in akademischen Magazinen. 2014 hat er den Lab Award in Augsburg und 2008 Milano in Digitale gewonnen. Alessio wird heute über digitale Ontologie sprechen und damit eine essentielle Frage im Denken über digitale Identitäten stellen. Was bedeutet digital? Alessio, I'm very looking forward to your lecture on digital ontology, especially because in thinking about digital identity, one question that you are talking about is quite essential. What is digital?
Yeah, thanks, Clara, for your introduction. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And so my presentation is about virtual identity somehow, but with a different kind of approach of how it's supposed. Like in general, I'm not going to talk about avatar or like presence on internet, etc. My perspective is more like questioning what is actually digital. So when we have a representation of ourselves, how we can find ourselves in the essence of like 0, 1, that's the point. So first of all, like how the title itself is suggesting, I made a paraphrase from Erwin Goffman, that he wrote this famous book that was called like The Presentation of Self in the Everyday Life, in which, I mean, to synthesize, it's basically saying that we, in a social context, every human, let's say, is presenting himself in a kind of front region. So it's mean he used a metaphor of a theater. We are like actors, like my case now. Like now I'm talking to you and I'm exposing certain kind of mask, let's say. But there is then also a back region, so it's also called like the backstage, and is like what is happening behind the things. So I use this kind of, let's say, model to make the comparison in what actually is on digital media. So in the case of the, let's say, front region, I will say we have the representation that is provided by the digital devices, etc., but also the interface. And the back region is, according to like my idea I'm introducing, is like more in the essence of the digital. So that's why digital ontology, because it's like questioning what is digital. For reaching this point of the digital ontology, would you like to use like these two main topic, let's say, so the materiality of digital and the visual representation, because I think they are quite a relevant tool for understanding what is actually digital. Very shortly, just to avoid any kind of confusion, digital ontology is also used as a form of cosmology in digital physics. So it means that somebody say that the universe can be explained in integer numbers, so like it's possible to calculate everything. is not a very interesting theory, especially is very deeply argued and criticized. But what we are going to talk about is like digital ontology for, again, finding the essence of digital, for an understanding of the digital. Here there is a very, let's say, very seminal book which was written by Nicolas Negroponte, in which it actually sounds a bit like digital physics in theory, because basically what he's saying is like nowadays, or better, there is like this process of translating the atoms to bits. So it's not anymore a cosmology about what is the universe, but it's something more like we can potentially translate the every physical phenomena to a form of information. So also ourselves, we are actually translated in information. This is the basic things that is coming before then, as I said before, like avatars or other form of presence in the digital realm. So of course, before then Negroponte, there was a very famous Marshall McLuhan who said like that in our age, that time was already before then internet was a popular media. So he was saying like we are translating ourselves in information. So we are actually becoming part of something else, of what we are used to know. There is another thing, like as I say, yeah, digital as an ontology, so its own way of being. And everything is passing by, let's say, this kind of substance. It's actually carrying traces of this way of being. So it has some very specific properties that must be considered. In this case, like it's more about matter of the identity. If we, this is kind of obvious difference, but so basically we know that analog content are probably are different than digital content, but this is not just this the point. It's the point is more that it raises some very serious issue in let's say an ontological level of the content of the subject which is represented in one or the other way. An example is it can be like intellectual properties. So it's like let's say if for example I have the intellectual property of a book, if it's like written on paper, if it is a digital file, if it is engraved on stone or whatever, I will still keep my intellectual properties. But when we think like that, I don't know. For example, if we translate the book in the digital code, so let's say if I have a representation of how the text is then written when it's just matter of code, so that is not in an intelligible form, so that basically you can just read 0 and 1. I think then in this point, like, it's quite questionable, which is the intellectual properties. So you don't actually, you can't say, okay, this is a, it can still be covered by copyright or not. Like, okay, to make an example, this is a project I did some time ago. I actually took a pirate copy of a book, and the book was actually intellectual properties, a reference handbook. And what I did with this pirate copy, I just take the text and I translate it in hexadecimal code, so basically in digital. And then I reprint the copy. Now we can't see, but I reprint the same book, but just with this code. So you can't actually read anything there. But if you take all the code which is inside the book and you convert it again, you will have the original one. So this was a way of questioning, which is like the sense somehow of intellectual properties in digital, or what it changed. Another point still about digital ontology, it's about like the concept of form. And yeah, now I'm going to introduce another project I did. So probably many of you know the one of three and three chairs of Josef Kossuth. So let's say basically was reflecting this concept of form. So he like placed a real chair in a gallery. He took a photo of the chair and he put it next to it. So you have a second time, like a representation of the original form. And the third one, this one on the right, is a text which is taken by the dictionary. So what the dictionary say about chairs. I reinterpret like this work in this way. So basically, the material form, the materialization of this object is the print. So it is the central chair, and the one which was previously the representation is not the print of the chair, but is the running representation in a computer. And instead, and the description from the dictionary, I just print the code which is actually describing the drawing of the chair, point by point. Okay, another aspect still about digital ontologies, about the materiality. Because usually, digital is supposed to, is considered like something immaterial, something that doesn't have any materiality. But this is kind of, is not completely true, let's say. Maybe not completely wrong, but let's say if the is digital, it's of course based on logic, that is something kind of immaterial, but it has a material correspondent, which is in a very small scale, but it exists. So, for example, there is Matthew Kirschenbaum, which he suggests to take a forensic imagination. So this is like the picture is about some information stored in some magnetic media. And what he says is like, you know, if, for example, police or other kind of stuff are using forensic to discover some information which they were maybe erased or something like that. But to assume in this kind of perspective of realizing and there is actually a material part of digital, it's helped us to understand better what is it. So, well, another very important point, it's about the ontology of the digital image. So basically the digital image express very well the problem of the ontology of digital in general, but in the images it emerged some very specific issue. I will go quite fast, but for me it's interesting this kind of this emerging field of art, which is basically based on the dissemination of digital imaginary somehow in the real world. So it's just better if I show you some example. Like this is a project from Cory Archangel, which what he did was basically printing this huge carpet, which is no more no less than a Photoshop gradient that he customized, and the title itself of the project is actually describing how you can have again the same gradient. Another project is like Clement Valla. He basically made a scan of an ancient vase, and basically he print the texture in a fabric, and he tried to cover again the same shape of that kind of amphora. But obviously, it couldn't have the effect of being something perfect. So you have this kind of glitchy effect. Next, again, is like here. Elisa Giardina Papa, she made like this project called Brushstroke. It's recalling like the idea of transparency in image editing software. So it's like, you know, you you kind of, when you delete some part, you have this kind of pattern on the center. So here looks like this kind of modification in Photoshop, but in reality, these are panel of PVC placed in a gallery's place. And so it's, making this picture and to placing a person behind it, it's going to express again this idea between the physical space and the imaginative object that we are used to know in digital world. And next, mainly the bigger problem in the ontology of digital image, let's say, is like the visual representation and the referent. So let's say originally there was this idea from Roland Barthes, which basically was saying that the photographic reference is the object which is the necessary real things which is in front of the lens, and without that one there was no photograph possible. So it couldn't be something else. So it's mean that, like with analog photography, for example, if you have one object that you photograph, it must happen that it was there. This in digital is not completely true anymore. So basically, like how Maya said, like the in digital photography, like just 1/3 of the visual information are kept from the sensor or from the media itself. All the rest is interpolation, so it's basically a software which is recreating the image just by, you know, its own choice somehow. And but there is also something more, which is not just the problem of taking the image, but it's also the computational photography, which is already one step more. So it's how to create photograph without having even the necessity of a picture. But okay, now the example can be like Instagram. Here the problem is also that smartphone does not have very good camera. Like, it's impossible. It's technically impossible. But what is happening inside is like that there is a software which is recreating some particular aesthetics, very nice sometimes. Other times, I don't know. I don't know. Instagram, for instance, is like reproducing this kind of effect, you know, with this kind of dark side on the corner, which actually was an aberration technically in photography. This is completely wrong, but for Instagram, let's say, you can have the choice of having this kind of aesthetics. But it's even more interesting, like some possibility which combine like computer vision with deep learning, so it's like artificial intelligence. This is a very recent experiment in which basically there was an algorithm which was trained to reconstruct photography out of a drawing. So basically the images which are on the on your left, are original picture of somebody. The one in the middle is a sketch which basically was asked to some, let's say, artist to reproduce that image. And the third one is what the computer built back when they informed the computer with just the black and white drawing, and he could figure out how to make the third picture that is quite close to the original. It's quite scary because it means that the computer was able to create a photograph out of nothing. Okay, this was an example. Then, okay, the point is this, like, what is the identity in digital image? Because we are supposed to relate the identity to the image, no? Of course, all of us as a ID card or passport or something like this, and of course there is a picture, because we relate with our image is our identity at the same time. Something that with digital image, it's a bit tricky. It's quite interesting to understand how it can or it cannot be. So here, let's make the example of the Narcissus. I don't know if, let's say that today, maybe instead than watching into a pool, he was going to shoot in selfie, but the the concept is more or less the same. Like, as before, he couldn't reach his image, like, because it was just water reflecting itself. But now is the, let's say the water was substituted by digital. It's something that you can't really grasp. Now I have other example of some other old project I made some time ago, still about the identity and related to the digital image. So shortly, here it's a print of myself, basically. It's I made a picture of myself that I was naked. Then, of course, I had to resize it. I had to make it very small. I had to elaborate a bit. But then I take the old code and I print it in real dimension. Actually, you can see it's quite short. So, basically, if you take, again, it's like this, the things of the book. If you take all this code, you have back the picture. And if you compile it again, you have the picture back. Same was this other project that, basically was the same concept. I took a portrait picture of myself, and I print the code. Then, okay, here maybe on the picture is not very, very clear, but it's basically I frame it and I made it at the same proportion of self-portrait in paintings. And next, we are kind of close to the end. Maybe I was a bit too fast, but kind of okay. What is also interesting, like this is probably the hottest part, is like that the representation, if you compare it like in a picture, in like about the visual representation, or can be compared to politics representation, and in both of case there is a kind of form of obfuscation. And then we will see why. But first of all, it's important to consider this, like that ontologies are ideologies. So I was saying like digital ontology is something quite specific to talk about, but actually in every kind of interface, every kind of elaboration of content or whatever, there is like there is an ontology which is created, like, I don't know, watching a mobile and to see the things working one way, stand in another, is not casual. There are study behind, and this is a way of creating an ontology of what you think is digital, or what you think is device you are using. So it's quite a strong political power, somehow. For me, it was very interesting to see like this from Ito Steyer, that she was saying, like, this stuff I was just introducing, like that the paradigm of representation of digital picture is kind of the same, is parallel to the to how it's working in politics. So the same example with the smartphone, which the kind of photography are very poor, but you know there is a algorithm, there is a choice, there is a direction which is saying, okay, let's let's, you know, filter this noise and let's make it beautiful somehow. And in politics, it's probably something not so different. So I found very interesting this kind of idea. So concluding, I think that, digital ontology is quite a necessary approach for reaching a kind of deep understanding of what we are using. And the main things is like, that can sounds kind obvious, but digital now becomes a kind of basic substance of our daily life. So it's important, I mean, not to understand how everything is working, because it's also kind of impossible, but to have an idea of what is it and what it can be. Because there is one point from, let's say, its potential and what it is in fact, which is basically what is built by the company which is producing it. And this is never made by casual reason. There is always, they have very specific interest in this process, which is political, as I was saying, somehow. So, we can see that actually is our information age, so like our infosphere of, you know, digital devices, digital content, digital stuff, are actually determinants of identity, are determinants of our daily life, as I was saying. And that's also interesting to underline, which basically, let's say, digital is kind of defining the way in which we are with ourselves. And it's for this reason, I think that it's quite relevant to have a certain kind of perspective to get to the to consider that everything is actually possible, but what is there is something which was like shaped by somebody. And with this I finish. So thanks for your attention.
Well, thank you very much, Alessio, for your really elaborate and very well-timed talk. Your focus has been a rather theoretical one, so I'd like to ask you a rather profound question to begin with, to maybe get it down a little. Why are you interested in the field of digital ontology? Was there some starting point, or how did you get to know each other?
I think there can be several reasons. I mean, like, I was always kind of interested in, of course, using technology, etc. But okay, apart of this, let's say, for me there was a certain point I realized how much is important the things that you use in, I have to make an example. Like, let's say many times when you are, for example, chatting or communicating with somebody with a digital system, whatever, you are trying to get much information from this communication which you can't have, basically. So what you are considering is the timing which a person is replying, or a lot of very small things which became very important, you know, for a person. And sometime I really like, I give, of course, then it depends also on which kind of relation, but I give so much importance to these small things that sometime was just something which just I couldn't grasp how the system was working. Like, this is a bit paranoid way, but this is actually was the reason which you know, it's possible to create every kind of imagination over a digital, let's say, content. So for this reason, like, I think it's quite relevant to reach the zero level, like to reach the point which you know which is the basic essence, and to have then the idea of everything could be developed then. So I don't know if I actually reply to the point, but yeah, for me it's more, was something more relational. So that's why I relating like digital ontology with digital identity, because sometimes I'm like perceiving a person which I'm chatting just because I connect all the information with the image I have of the person. But there is something lost there. So like this is something that...
The digital representations of ourselves communicate with each other on a digital highway.
Yeah, in the example that I made now is not just a matter of image. It's just another way of representation that is like chatting, yeah, for example. But this can be like in every kind of, let's say, medium, which is used for communication person to person, but can be also something much more complex. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about the double tick on a Facebook chat when you're like,
for example,
has she read what I wrote her?
But they choose to make it.
Yes.
So there is a logic behind that.
So Facebook chose to make it visible to you if the other person is not replying on purpose.
Yes.
Are there any questions from the audience?
Thank you very much, Alessio. Did I understand it right that... the more digital we become, the more the less real kind of or we become.
Somehow yes, but this is very hard to say also because what is real? And here we can go very very far. So, but yeah, of course. I mean, for me, it's not a matter of what is more or less real, but is more like the level of sophistication which there is on the things. So when you have to deal with something which is more understandable for you because it's more closer to the, you know, to the physics, like, I don't know, if you drop this glass, probably, you know, the water will go on the floor, because this is something that I know as experience of the world. But about digital, we just don't understand. I think not even the person who know most about, I don't know, digital stuff or programming or very advanced level, I think you have probably no idea of what a complex system is doing. Like, if you think about an operating system, there is no one person who knows what the operating system is doing perfectly. There is a very large group. No, I don't mean like as a user, I mean as a producer, because that is different.
Okay, my question refers to the chairs of Kossuth. And if I understood correctly, it was your reinterpretation of that work. And so I was wondering, what's the part of copying and copy-paste in your digital ontology?
Well, if it's a matter of like the kind of reactment I did, if you intended like the copy from the Kossuth version to mine, well, that I just, let's say, follow this kind of, how it's called, tautology, like of repeating the same concept for 3 times in different ways. So I just kind of use the same kind of method. But, yeah, I mean, in my, like, or the let's say, the difference between the 3 chairs, or if I, the idea of copy and paste the 3 chairs, if you understood, is not really like, you know, is not a perfect copy. So it's like a different perspective of a same object. Like, for me, it's also interesting because that project is a bit old. If I have to do it now, probably instead of a print of the chair, I would decide to have a 3D printed chair. So that's why, I mean, the main part, the most important part is the idea which is behind. That's the reason why I choose Kossuth, that is like conceptual art, pure conceptual art.
Thanks very much, Alessio. I would be interested, you talk about digital ontology, but you are using a lot of analog materialities to make the digital visual. and I wanted to ask about this relational.
You mean digital analog material, like about my projects?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually, because well, the method, let's say the artistic method, which I like, even because, you know, you can consider this kind of work kind of modernistic somehow, so it's really going too deep to the structure of the things. But what is for me interesting is, like, yeah, using this as a topic, but as a method to have, let's say, what is called like post-media practice. So it's like, you know, to being able to explain a certain concept, but in a different way. So it shouldn't be like so direct. You can actually use every kind of, or it's probably better to use a different media if you want to talk about one medium. So that's why, also because it's, how to say, the contrast is higher. The contrast is higher to when you have, let's say, physical or analog object, which is going to tell you about something that is digital. If I had it digital, I don't know, maybe it was just something else.
I have one last question that I'm going to serve you on a plate. Would you describe the artworks? And maybe we can get back to the brush artwork. I think that. Because I think it's really nice if you think about having it in a room and people go behind it, and that's just a picture of a person behind the material hanging around in the room. Would you describe the artworks and approaches that you just presented as promoting a new kind of digital formalism, or a new?
There is somehow also connected to what we were saying before. It's like there is, of course, a reflection on a medium, which in this case, like, can be Photoshop or, let's say, digital in very general sense, but. Anyway, like, the perspective is quite different in a way that, how to say, is not the artistic medium, how it's supposed how it's traditionally known, like, you know, painting, sculpture, these kind of things, which the academic field is still, like, keeping this kind of category. So in this case, it's also a reflection on a medium, but it's not an artistic medium. The artistic medium, like in Krauss terms, is like in this case, it's a reinvention. Like it's something new. Like the artist decide to invent this new form, this new. this form of this kind of work to express her idea.
Once again, a last chance for the audience to ask or suggest something. If that's not the case, I would like to thank you, Alessio, very much for your interesting lecture, and thank you, everyone, for attending the symposium today and yesterday and the day before yesterday. Das Paraflos Festival läuft noch bis 6. Oktober. Zu sehen gibt es die Ausstellung im Bank Austria Kunstforum auf der Freiung. Zu hören gibt es bereits zum 6. Mal in Kooperation mit das Weiße Haus und der Gesellschaft für Klangreihenmusik die Konzertreihe Recomposed, die von 21. bis 24. September täglich ab 20 Uhr im Weißen Haus in der Hegelgasse 1. Bezirk stattfindet. Zu erleben gibt es heuer auch ein besonderes Theaterstück, es heißt Wald. Hinten liegen noch Flyer auf denen Sie die genauen Informationen nochmal finden. Wald spielt im postapokalyptischen Zeitalter, ist ein kurzweiliges, sehr interessantes, kritisches und lustiges Stück mit Gesangsteilen. Ich habe die Regie übernommen in Teilen und würde mich auch deshalb sehr freuen, wenn Sie vorbeikommen. Ich darf Sie dazu sehr herzlich einladen. Wir spielen am 3., 5. und 6. Oktober im Weinhaus Sittl, das ist bei der Josefstädter Straße U6, je um 20 Uhr. Und ich darf Ihnen den Tipp geben, sich um 18 Uhr einzufinden und noch die exzellente Hausmannskost dort zu genießen, bevor dann das Stück beginnt. Dann bleibt mir zum Schluss nur noch der Dank an alle TeilnehmerInnen und an das Publikum und schönen Abend. Danke.